You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
There are loved ones up in glory, and their forms you often miss. When you close your earthly story, will you join them in their bliss? Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Were ended. One by one they left this earth. Now with Jesus up in glory, they enjoy their holy birth. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. So the question to the living, are you ready to meet the King? Have you trusted in the Savior? Can you join with those who sing? Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Sing it with me once. I see several of you doing it. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I said there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Up there in the sky is called heaven.
Great song. Y'all did a pretty good job on it too. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And if you'd like to turn to Romans chapter 12 and don't have a Bible, we'll help you get one if you lift your hand up. We got some Bible people out there that will get you a Bible. And again, let me say, if you don't have a Bible here with you in Odessa, Texas, then you keep that one as our gift to you. If you're going to turn it back in tonight, if you would turn it back on the back table, right back here at the end of the at the room. We use them all. We got any more? Yeah, okay. Look, all very good. Yeah, let them two, you look on and let these two share. There you are. Romans chapter 2. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans. It's been called the ABCs of the gospel. It's probably one of the greatest doctrinal books, on probably the best book in the Bible on showing people just how to get to heaven. Very simply, very plainly. Paul, who was a very educated guy, Paul was a Pharisee, which meant he had his doctor's degrees in Jewish theology. He could have been anybody's professor, president of a college. But yet Paul could take those things and make them so simple and just lay them out to where everybody could understand them. And in this book, Paul was a man that by race, he was a Jew. In the Bible, you got two races. You got Jews and Gentiles. And Gentiles come from all over. Jews came from one place. Everybody that wasn't a Jew was a Gentile. But by nationality, Paul was a Roman. So he kind of had both the best worlds and was very popular until he got saved. And when he got saved, his life just really turned upside down because all of that religious crowd that he run around with hated Jesus. They haven't changed any of that since then. For the last 2,000 years, it stayed the same. Religious crowd still hates him. But in the 12th chapter, Paul called a lot of names in the Bible because he wanted to see people go to heaven. He called them by name. He cared about them. Paul would go into a town and he would look and see somebody that he just wanted to see saved. Somebody that he wanted to see them miss hell. And he would many times, you would think that he might be a hellfire and damnation preacher, and times there was. When it came to phonies, he really was. Now if you were a phony about the Lord, Paul would get all over you. But if you were sincere, it didn't make any difference. What side of the tracks you was from didn't make any difference. What your lifestyle had been didn't make any difference where you were. And here's what he said. He said, I beseech you. Verse 1, chapter 12 of the book of Romans. I beseech, that means I beg you. He's not challenging anybody. He's not threatening anybody. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to just take time to look at some of those words that Paul used. First, he said, I beg you, I plead with you. He said, I want you to do this. What would it take for me to talk you into it? I beg you, he said, I plead with you by the mercies of God. And I was thinking about that and of all the mercies that God's given us. You realize you're here tonight by the mercy of God?
Amen.
You have any idea? Have you ever stopped and think how many times that we could have been snuffed out and nobody would have been surprised? Have you ever thought about all His mercies? He gave us, we deserve something else, and we got some mercy. We didn't get what we deserve. We got mercy. Not just once or twice, but He said, by the mercy, He said, I beg you, by the mercies of God, you're alive. You're well. God has let you be here. I was visiting some friends before the meeting tonight, and we were talking about some people we'd known that are no longer with us. And probably everybody in this room could have had that kind of end. Truth of the matter is that their life was cut short by the lifestyle in which they lived is cut short. There are things in our life that have just been my God's mercy. First 9mm pistol I ever saw in my life was right there. I really preferred it someplace else. I started asking God to let me see it, but I was afraid He wouldn't. But we have the mercies that He talks about here. He said, by the mercy of God, did you present your body? And notice He's asking now. This is a request. He said that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice. Nobody, you'd think sometime that when we try to talk people into trusting Christ that somebody's trying to get them to die for Him. Hey, you got it turned around. He died for us. We don't have to die for Him. He has died for us. In fact, look over back at the 5th chapter just a moment. Hold your finger there. We're going to come back to it. But look back at the 5th chapter. And at verse 7, He said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, He's the one that paid the debt. We don't have to do that. Paul said, present your body as a living sacrifice. Hey, it's a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. He said, I'm not asking you to give your life. I'm not asking you to sacrifice yourself. He said, just a living sacrifice for Him. You're living. You do what you want to. In fact, as a living sacrifice, you want to get down off the altar and go home, can't you? Think about that. Your bodies, you know, of all the things in His entire book in the Bible called the book of Job, but one time God said to Satan, He said, Satan, He said, if you considered My servant Job, Job is a great servant of Mine. He loves Me. He does what I want Him to do. And Satan said, yeah, right. But the reason He does is because you're taking care of Him. Look, the guy's rich. The guy has got a great home. He's got 10 healthy children. He's got a lot of cattle. He's got a lot of land. Sure, he serves you. Good. Who wouldn't serve you? All the good things you give him. God said to Satan, you have all this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, you don't get our attention, touch our stuff. Don't leave my stuff alone. Some of y'all found that out sharing a room in Clover House. Don't you touch my stuff. My stuff. God said, you can touch His stuff. And I mean, just like this, before God can hardly get it out of His mouth, the verses just start stacking one upon another, that He took this and He took that and He took something else, and He's taken everything that Job's got down to killed all 10 of his kids. Now, you talk about in one day losing everything you've got. Think of everything that you count dear to you. Some of us may not have much, but whatever we got's dear to us, isn't it? And then all of a sudden it's gone. And God said to Satan, told you. Told you. He said, he stood true. In fact, you remember what Job did? When they told him all these things, Job bowed down and said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, we'd have been whining and moaning and saying, I can't believe you did this to me, God. Here I've tried to live for you. Job just said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Next time God saw Satan, he said, notice how old Job come through that, baby? Notice what he did? Satan said, yeah, but I tell you one thing. You touch his body, skin for skin. You want to get a man's attention, you touch his body. He'll cuss you to your face. God said, Satan, you can do anything you want to him. But you can't take his life. Can't kill him. I want you to keep this in mind as you're listening to that story, is that every child of God is protected just like that by God. Satan accused God. He said, you built a hedge about him, and God didn't deny it. He did. And he protects every one of his children. And you say, you can go this far. And you remember, all of a sudden, here come balls on Job from the top of his head to the bottom of his head. I don't know if you ever had any balls or not, but they are painful. And Job is in pain. He can't move without pain. Everywhere on his body. And Job says, the Lord giveth. Lord, take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey. Job still had his life. His wife looked at him. She told him, you need just curse God and God. I know something by that. Because everybody I hear that speaks on that kind of gives Noah's wife a hard time. Do you know that she looked at 10 caskets too? When Job lost 10, she lost 10. And I noticed this. God does not put her down one time. He understood a mama's love. I think, and when Job was in all of his sickness, she might have been saying, you'd be better off dead. I hate to see you suffer like this. Some of you have watched some of your family members, somebody you cared about, suffer. And let me tell you, that is rough. You want to just say, I wish God would take her or him on home and get out of this misery. We can do without the wealth. We can do without the prestige. You can do without the pride. One of the guys, the first night I went into Big Spring Federal Prison, 29 years ago, this first Friday night in January, this coming month, or the next month, and a guy showed up there from Seattle, Washington. I've told you about him and about him being the largest drug bust. And of all the money, the high peg that he came down from. But he fell in love with a little girl in Seattle, married her, and Terry ended up bussing tables in a restaurant he used to own. Think he could handle that? Think he could go back into the restaurant to was your front for a lot of cocaine? By the way, those restaurants still there. If you ever go to Seattle, they're called Taco Times. Terry had put in the first Mexican food restaurant in the city of Seattle, Washington, some 30 years ago. But he bussed tables just to try to make it. He was willing to let all that go because he was so in love, and he felt like God had given him such a beautiful lady, and she was. And God gave him two little girls. And when those little girls were 2 and 4 years of age, God took Julie home. At 32, she died with cancer. And I remember Terry calling me and said, "Leland, would you come and do Julie's funeral?" And I was more than honored to do that. But just to see how God had changed his life, and how that even his own federal parole officer had come and asked him to counsel with his own daughter who was on drugs. How that he got all that put behind him and ended up with a prison ministry. Paul said, I beg you. The best thing that ever happened to Terry Reed was when he trusted Christ in prison. And what he did, all of that other stuff just doesn't last very long. The money can be gone. Some of you know that. The prestige can be gone. The popularity can be gone. Being a big deal can be gone. Because time marches on. Paul said, present your body a living sacrifice. He said it's just your reasonable service. His challenge was, hey, it's just your reasonable service. You can do it. Nobody in here has ever been stopped and said, hey, I just wanted to issue you this citation for driving so good. You really impressed me? Anybody ever stop and say, hey, you know what? You've gone one full year without stealing anything. You know what? You have lasted a year without any scotch. We probably ought to give you some kind of medal. You haven't had a number, and I don't know, what is it, 3 months now? My, hey, we got some reasonable service here. That's why people don't get plaques for driving right. Because that's what we ought to do. And the thing about it, you stay out a whole lot more wrecks out of the way. See, it's amazing when we do what's right, things work out so much better. All right. He said it's holy, acceptable unto God. Just give yourself. Paul said, man, I beg you, if you would do this, it would be so good for you. The best thing that could ever happen to you. I don't know how many times. I have not sat down and counted. I don't even know if we could. Linda might have a record of them. She's kept a record of a lot of things. I don't know how many prisons we've been in. I know we got to go to the last island prison in the United States, up at McNeil Island, out of Steilacoom, Washington. Terry took us up to that. The only way you could get out there was by boat. We were on a ferry going out, and the prison was on a land, preserve. And I looked down as we were going, I looked down beside the boat and hear the seals following us out there, running along beside us. There were deer and elk and so forth over there. And we'd been from the federal ones to the state ones. We'd been from Del Hart, which is about 13 miles this side of Nome, Alaska, I think. and all the way down to Ramsey 2, southwest of Houston. But you know what? I can tell you this. I don't know how many it is, but we've never been one, at least one fella or one woman didn't come up during the course of our session there and say, best thing that ever happened to me was coming into this prison. How many times have I heard somebody say, God saved my life by sending me here? And that's what Paul is begging. He's begging. You can have it better. It can be good. We want you to have it better. He's not browbeating anybody. He's not. So, well, don't, it doesn't make Paul a penny if we straighten up. He wants to see the job. Yeah, there's something about when you get saved, you want to see people saved. There's just something about that. If you get saved, you want to see your friends and your loved ones saved. You want to see your family saved. You want to see everybody saved. Not that you want to say, well, you're going to have to quit cussing too if I am. No, I mean, that's the way some of us look at it. Well, if I'm going to have to quit, if I'm going to have to quit drinking, you are. But do you realize how much it helps us? The good side of it, the good part of it. And then notice the next verse. He said, be not conformed to this world. Isn't it amazing how we try to conform to this world? Because we're all going to be individuals. That's why we're going to all wear breeches like this. I'm not like everybody else. I'm different. That's why I get my hair cut like 70 other guys. He said, don't control. You don't have to. Don't be like everybody. Do you realize that David was an individual? That there was no other person in the entire world forever like David of old? But did you realize that there's nobody like Charles? Or Jolene? Or you? There's only one. There's only one set of fingerprints. Only one person. Out of all of the millions of people over the years. And there's only one just like that. Because you're special to God. You're not better than anybody, but you're special. God cares about you. As somebody said, and I really believe this on my heart, if you'd been the only one lost, I believe Jesus would have died for you. Because that's what he came to do. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We say we want to be different, but the truth of the matter is, we start conforming right off. So we look like everybody else, because that's what's in. Well, that's in today. My daughter said, Dad, she said, you made my life frustrating. And I said, why? And she said, because when the boys, that's what she called her brothers. She said, when the boys were little, long hair was in and you made them get crew cuts. And I swore up and down that my kids could have their hair as long as they wanted it. And when they got big, I was going to let them grow their hair any way they wanted to. Instead, Dad, when they got big, crew cuts was in and they wanted it short. And we want to say we want to do it better. Don't be like everybody else. He said, be not conformed to this world. Anybody can do that. Anybody can mess your life up. You know that? Anybody can go out here and foul up. We've all done it. We've done it real easy. But he said, be ye transformed. I used to pray, God, help me to do your will. And one day, and I pray this, Lord, help me to do your will. And one day it dawned on me, Leland, you're about the stupidest prayer that I know. Don't you think I want you to do my will? It was like I was trying to talk God into helping me do His will. How dumb am I? Or how dumb do I think He was? I said, Lord, help me do you. That's not the problem. God wanted me to do His will. God wants you to do His will. God wants to bless you. God wants to help you. He wants to help me. He wants to bless me. What's the problem? Well, I wonder if it starts with us by any chance. See, my problem, I didn't get my Warner right. I didn't want to do His will. I pray that I can do His will, but I don't want to do His will. Because if I really want to do His will, I could start doing that. What I really want to do is find an excuse for why I wasn't doing it. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not the heart sometimes that we got problem with. It's our mind. Our heart is where we get our dedication. Our heart is where we make that decision that will stick. But here's what we learn about it. And he said, be conformed by the renewing of your mind. Think about it. Look at the whole picture. Not just this one weekend. Not just this one flame. Not just this one high. But by the renewing of your mind. Sit down. Look at it. What have you got to lose? What have you got to win? What is it worth to you? How does it work out? Sir, we don't go sorry. We'll be through in just a second. But what's your mind telling you? Be honest with yourself. I've used this, but I remember the old gentleman told me, he said, Leland, it's bad enough for you to lie to other people, but it's really pathetic when you lie to yourself. And I did that. Some of you are doing that. You know what the need is. You know what you need to do. The reason we don't like to think about it much is because we don't have to face that. But I can guarantee you this, if you ever do face it and turn it over to the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be the happiest day of your life. And I can guarantee you that. And you can look back and say, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and nobody looking around. And I've just talked to you. I've just tried to get you to think with me a little bit. And yes, I'm begging you, because I know some of you in this room that your life is such a turmoil. I know that some of you, it's just not been good. You got a lot of battles, and you could win them tonight if you would do something that's going to really seem odd to you, but the way you win the battles is by surrendering to Jesus Christ. Turn it over to Him, and He'll take it all the way. We're going to pray in a moment. And I want you to know, I'm begging you, I don't mind that. And you say, Leland, I need to be saved. I'm not saved. Truth of the matter is, I'm not going to heaven. If the Bible is correct, then I'm not going to heaven the way I am now. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand real quick? We're going to pray in a moment. Yes, sir. God bless you. See your hand. Anyone else? Or you put it right back down. Yes, sir. I see yours, sir. Anyone else? Real quick. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? We're going to pray. Anyone? Real quickly before we pray. Now then, there's some of you here also that your life is a turmoil because you know what y'all do and keep putting it off. And I can tell you now, as long as you keep putting it off, it's not going to get any easier. But again, if you turn loose, walk down this aisle, there'll be somebody here that will pray with you, and you get that problem solved tonight. I want you to come. Would you say, Leland, pray for me that I might do that? Just slip your hand up real quick. Yes, I see your hand. Yeah, come right on. Come on. Anybody wants to come right this moment, you can come right on. Anyone else, real quickly, I'm going to pray. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes still closed. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you know what we need to do tonight. You know what each one here is. Father, each person here, your son went to Calvary for. Each person here, Jesus shed his blood that they could go to heaven. You not wanted one person in here to be miserable. You wanted them to be a living sacrifice for you, to have the peace and the joy and the happiness that comes from that. So, Father, I pray tonight that souls will be saved, lives will be changed, and your will be done. In Christ's name we pray. As our heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed, Brother Charles singing, come right on the very first verse. Come on. Come right on. Come on. Just as I am, without one plea, step right out. Come on. There'll be somebody here to pray for you. Come on. Just a minute. We'll be leaving here. If you're trying to hold out, if that's your goal, then you'll probably make it. But aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired? You know that there's no arguing about it. You know what God would have you to do. Wouldn't you come? I'm going to ask Charles to sing one more verse. Whatever God wants you to do, would you do it? Are you tough enough to do that? Would you do it? Brother Charles, one verse. Come on. Waiting not. Step out. Oh, say, Lord, come on. What God have you to do? Play the verse, Brother Charles. Just play them. Come on. What's God got for you? The musicians continue to play. We've got some people praying. We've got some people making it right. Did you do what God wants you to do? I can't plead with you, beg you enough. Our precious Heavenly Father, Father, just help those that need to come, that they not wait any longer. Father, I don't even know sometimes what to say. But I do know I want to see people saved and see people have a good life and have joy and peace and happiness. And I see so many that their lives are messed up and they're like a hit and run. Oh, Lord, we need the power of your Holy Spirit to deal with hearts and to break hearts so that we can have that joy and peace that you have for us. Our Father, just bless us. We're nothing without you. Have your own way with them. In Christ's name we pray. While heads are still bowed, if you'd like to just ease right on out while people are praying at the front, you're dismissed. Put the Bibles back at the back. The refreshment bar is open. If we can be of any help to anybody, please let us know. Thank you for being here.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.